Hello.
Hello, Hot Vibes, and welcome back to a recap of Pip Babe episode 12, the penultimate episode.
It felt like, okay, I know it's like penultimate, it's like, ooh, what's going to happen? It felt fillery.
I think it's more of a lead up. Because, like, at the end, everyone's at the auction, and, like, the big breakout's coming, and then everything kind of explodes next week.
See, when they mentioned the auction, I was like, oh, okay, so the auction's going to be, you know, the big finale next episode. But no, it's in this one.
Well, no, it was definitely like a preview of the auction. Don't worry, the auction takes place next episode, too. But, like...
Okay.
No, the auction, like, we kind of saw how it starts, and, like, and how he sells the children by faking art pieces and stuff, and, like...
Yeah.
But before we actually get into this...
What?
I have something to reveal to you.
You have something to reveal? What?
I do.
What do you mean?
And I'm not sure you're going to take it yet, so we'll see.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
There's going to be a season 2 coming out.
And I'm going to hate you if you make me watch it. No!
I'm excited,
Why?
Though! I wanted a season 2. A lot of people did, too.
Maybe I'm just, like, the odd man out, but I really want to wait until, like, the last episode to really judge
it. Here's the thing. Wait until the last episode. Like, we don't need to do anything yet. I would recommend watching the trailer after you watch the last episode, just so you're, like, we can maybe discuss a bit.
There's a trailer already.
Well, it's like the pilot. Like.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, it's not like the actual, it's just, like, saying, hey, because I think the company Change also had their big, like, lineup as well. There are also other shows, too. There were a few more BLs in there. There were the GL, too, that looked real good as well.
Yay.
So now they're branching out into that as well. So there's also those if you want to check those out on your own, too. But yeah, no, that I just wanted to let you know, so. But yeah, no, I would wait till you watch the finale to really think about it. Because I personally wanted season 2. Because I had thoughts on things, and like I felt like there was more to learn about.
If I were to judge right now,
yeah, I know, and that's why I said I don't know how it'll take this. That's why I want you to wait till after.
Okay.
But anyway, in this episode, we'll start with 12, well, before we get to other stuff. We kind of have a little bit of where we left off last episode with Kenta holding the knife to Pete.
He is,
you know, we're still there. And, we see that Kenta's wearing a black collar t-shirt with 3 buttons and a black belt, black dress pants, and a watch on his left wrist.
We already did this last episode, though. We already did this last episode!
What if someone is listening to this and didn't he watch last episode? You don't know that. And then we go back to the flashback, where Kenta's wearing a long sleeve black shirt and black pants and black socks with white shoes.
Great.
Yeah. And they kind of rehash the same conversation they did before, where like, oh, you know, like, where they were playing together and stuff. And Kenta kisses him, and then gets up and walks away. And we cut to present day, where Kenta is, again, we see the tear as he's trying to kill him. But Wei comes in and kicks him off.
Great. I like, if they ditch this interesting storyline, which is happening in the penultimate episode, mind you, I wish it was happening way earlier, because I'm actually going to be, I would have been invested in Kenta and Pete. If they ditch it for Pete and Wei, I'll be furious. Like, I didn't mind them before, but now that I know I have this, that might be more interesting. I don't want that.
The thing is, though, we know it's never going to be a thing.
Why?
Because Pete doesn't feel that way for Kenta. He constantly says, like, oh, Kenta and I are like brothers. He constantly says that throughout the whole episode.
Damn.
And that's why I said when I gave you the vibe for the whole, like, young love thing or whatever, I said it was one-sided.
Damn.
Kenta maybe felt that way for Pete, but we saw that Pete never felt that way for Kenta.
Damn. Damn, 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 damn.
Yeah, well, that's life. So Kenta makes a run for it, and Pete stops Wei from going after him. And then we cut to, I think, I don't know if it's Pete's house or Wei's house or whoever's house, but Wei is treating Pete's wounds, and he asks why he stopped him from following Kenta. And this is where Pete says, like, oh, Kenta wasn't going to kill me. Like, even if, you know, Tony ordered him to, he wouldn't kill me. Like, he still sees me as a brother. And, like, because we grew up together. We were brothers, which I feel like it's similar to Charlie and Jeff's relationship. Like, they grew up as brothers.
Yeah.
And I think that's the same way that Pete Aang feels for Kenta. And Pete says, like, he also wants to help Kenta, like, kind of, like, break free from Tony's grasp, similar to how he's been trying to help Wei as well. And then Pete places his hand on Wei's shoulder and asks, like, you don't know how to beat Tony, but you're trying to figure out how to.
Wei is doing that?
So this is where it's revealed that Pete can actually read minds. That's his sense and his special ability.
Oh, okay.
See, and so when he places his hand on Wei's shoulder, that's how he's reading his mind. He's seeing that Wei wants to defeat Tony, and he's trying to figure out how to do it.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that the flashback we saw is what Pete was reading Kenta's mind as he was about to kill him. Is because knowing that Pete can have, like, can read minds, I guess when he touched them or whatever, when he was, like, had a knife at him or whatever, like, I think the flashback showed that that was Pete was seeing in Kent's mind. He was seeing that.
Okay.
And he again reminds Wei that he had a choice to, like, stand up to Tony and take him down.
See, fine. But, like, I feel like we've not been shown that from Wei this entire time. Like, it's just been, like, Wei being either sad, manipulative, or none of the above. Like we've just seen him doing those things. And so this whole touching his shoulder thing and just being like, oh, you're trying to find a way to defeat him. I feel like that's being told to us, but it hasn't been shown to us.
It's because Wei was conflicted for a while. Like, after the whole reveal of him being the Enigma, it was a confliction he was having, whether to stay working with Tony or try to take him down. It was a constant confliction. And this is the first time we see Pete, I think it's the first time we see Pete touch Wei and read his mind, and that's how we know what Wei's thinking. He's like, okay, so you are trying to figure out a way to take Wei out. Like, that, like, his conflection of, like, the good and bad, like, his, like, morals, and, like, trying to figure out where to go from here.
Alright.
And we see it more in this episode, too, when he teams up with Bae and shit.
Yeah, I know, but then, whenever he teams up with Bae, like, there's always, like, this lingering, hey, so can we go back to things the way they were before? Like, maybe, please? He says it, like, 3 times this episode, and I'm like, bestie, no. Like,
well, no, again, it's, like, it's the regret. Like, he realized he fucked up.
Better.
Well, why? Well, we'll get there. Anyway, so then we have Tony yelling at Kenta, because apparently the alpha kids he found are not good enough. And we see that Kenta is wearing a black t-shirt with a zipper, and black belt, black dress pants, black shoes, and a watch on his left wrist.
Great.
And he wears this for the rest of the episode too, so I won't need to chime in anymore. So
thank
I'm sorry about
that. Fuck. Thank fuck.
Yeah, he's just, like, mad at Kenta for picking, I guess, shitty alpha children. And Kenta says, like, well, no, but right now, maybe not right now, but, like, if we can train them, we can raise them and, like, to use their senses better. And Tony's like, special senses like that are something you get at birth. It's not something you can be trained. Like, look how long I've been training you, and you're still worthless to me.
Damn, dude.
Yeah, no, Kenta takes a lot of beatings this episode.
Yeah, you could tell.
Yeah. And then Tony thinks, and he's like, actually, we do have one more child who has a special sense. Who we can
shit.
Get our hands on.
Shit. So shit.
Yeah.
Fuck. We're screwed.
Yes. So we kind of wake up the morning after with Alan and Jeff. Jeff goes outside and kind of just have, like, a cup of coffee by the pool. They're relaxing. We can kind of see a figure behind him, and when we see a knife to Jeff's throat, we kind of put together that it was Kenta.
Yeah, I was like, that's not Alan!
No. And then Alan wakes up, and he looks around and realizes that Jeff is gone.
Like, the fact that there's, like, a coffee cup there, I was like, go, like, once he goes outside later, I was like, the coffee cup just sitting there should be a very big clue to you that, like, something happened.
Well, no, it is, yeah. When he sees the coffee cup still there, like, still full, he's like, oh, wait, something's not right.
Bad things.
Yeah. He actually tried to call him before that, and we see in the van, Kenta takes Jeff's phone and gives it to a bunch of strangers, and he's like, here, take this, and drives off.
Yeah. I mean, fair, but, like, also, they'll see who gave it to them, so they'd be able to give a description of your face. So, also not smart.
Yes, but also it will lead them astray for a bit. And besides, they are, like, odds are, when they realize Jeff was gone, they probably already knew who to connect it to. Like, it's not, like,
a big mystery. It's not a big mystery.
Yeah. So then we have Sonic eating some ramen, and North wants some, so he feeds some to North as well. Babe's sitting outside. North tries to give him an apple and throws it to him, but he misses it. Babe is completely unaware that he just did that. And that's when he starts thinking, because it brings him back to when he first lost his senses, when Charlie threw the apple or fruit or whatever at him, and he couldn't catch it.
And he didn't catch it, yeah.
Yeah. And so he's starting to think, he's like, wait, so are my senses gone again? And wondering, like, if, like, starting to maybe put things together.
But weird, because they're, like, not, because Winter literally says later that he has his senses back, because he's, like, able to fight him.
Well. Yes. So it's revealed in the next scene we cut to that when Ravel is giving Charlie another injection, he says we need to do the more closer together, because the longer we wait, the more your senses come back.
Ah, okay, I see.
So it's like anytime they inject in, his senses go away and Babe gets his senses back. But when enough time passes without an injection, Babe gets his senses back. And yeah. So it kind of depends on how frequent the injection is.
Okay, I see.
So it's like sometimes Babe will have a sentence, sometimes it'll be Charlie. It depends on how quickly the drug is given. Alan goes outside, and this is where he sees a cup of coffee, and he's like, okay, something's wrong. He tried to call Jeff, but again, there is no answer. So he gathers North, Sonic, and Kim, and they all kind of team up and try to track Jeff's phone.
Which doesn't prove to be that hard.
No, not really. Except for the fact that the phone's not with him.
No.
Yeah. So they kind of find the area, they get out of the car, and they're like, okay, he should be somewhere around here. They see a little group of kids, and they're like, hey, like, can we talk to you? And they're like, oh shit, it's the police, and they all start running away.
In what universe are they the police? Guys, chill.
I don't know.
Dumbasses.
I guess they just assumed that they wanted questioning and they freaked out, so they ran away.
Dumbasses.
So Alan and Kim run off to chase them. They each grab Alan grabs one and realizes that he doesn't have a phone on him, but Kim grabs the other, and this is where he finds Jeff's phone.
Yeah.
He's like, oh shit, okay, so what happened? And again, they explain that someone in the van gave it to us.
Gave it to him. Yeah. It's like, we didn't take it, someone just gave it to us from a van.
Yeah. And that's where they put together that Jeff has been kidnapped. So then we have Babe meeting Pete by the river lake area. And Pete said, like, look, in order to get this done, we need Wei's help. So Wei is here, and he's like, hey, look, I'm sorry, Babe. And Babe says, like, even if you apologize a million times, like, nothing's gonna, like, come from it.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Yeah. And he says, like, look, I just want to help you get rid of Tony. Like, put a stop to that. And Babe says, like, oh, like, anyone who believes that is a fool, because you've been working with him for 10 years, and now all of a sudden, like, you want to get rid of him.
I mean, again, at least he could do.
Which, I mean, I also kind of call, like, hypocrisy here, because Babe also spent how many years with Tony? The whole, like, thing with Tony and his kids, like, he kind of gets, like, a lot of them should, like, I think Pete is the only one who really, like, understands, like, it's hard to break away from Tony. It's hard to disobey him. You're either manipulated into thinking he's the best person in the world, or you're terrified of him, and you act out of fear. And Pete, again, being the only one who was really there for Wei, because, like, he understood how, like, bad it is and scary it is to be in, I guess, a child of Tony.
Yeah, but, like, I get why it hurt him more, because it came from his best friend, and that he lied to him about it.
Yeah.
And not only that, he was manipulating him the whole time. Like, I'd be pissed, too.
No, I get Babe being pissed, but, like, him being like, oh, so now, like, you don't want, like, it's like, oh, now you want to betray him? Like, you've been with him for 10 years. It's like, you were also with him for, like, probably 10-plus years as well. Like...
True, but I feel like he's only saying this... Like, these words aren't what they are.
Yeah,
like,
no, I get a lot of it is just him being, like, mad because, like, it's Wei specifically. But, like, yeah. Yeah, and Wei says, like, look, when I was with him, he said, like, if I did everything he told me, it would be over. But now I realize that I'm no use to him, and, like, I want to put a stop to it. Like, he's hurt a lot of innocent people. And Pete says, like, yeah, like, using my sense, I can tell way so much he wants to take down Tony just as much as we do. So Babe kind of says, like, fine. Like, we'll work together for now, temporary truce, and get this done.
Temporary truce. Sounds fine.
And so they start talking about the evidence from the clip of Mr. Dong's child testimony. Yeah, I know. He's back. Well, he's mentioned, at least. And they're trying to figure out how to connect that with Tony receiving compensation from it. Mm. Wei kind of says, like, most of it is either in land or real estate, or, like, it's received on behalf of the nominated company called T-World, which is Tony's company. But Babe realizes that T-World was the company that kind of, like, ran his dad out of business and, like, kind of, kind of made him go bankrupt, which is ultimately what led to him leaving Babe. So then at Tony's little headquarters, Kenta goes up to two guards who are guarding Jeff's room, and he kind of goes in. And he says, like, if you're planning on doing something, you better do it now.
It's interesting. Like, he helped him escape. He confuses me.
Yeah.
Because he helped him escape before by not saying where he was. He was just like, oh, yeah, go ahead, run. And then now he's gone out and kidnapped him and brought him back. Why would you do that if you helped him escape before? Just be like, oh, I couldn't find him. Whoops. Like, I looked everywhere. He's in the wind. Something. Anything.
Because now Tony's mad at him. He's mad at him because he blames him for Charlie's death, quote-unquote. He blames him for not finding any good alpha children now. And if he doesn't do this, then he will be on Tony's bad side. And he's trying as hard as he can to get out of that. I mean, I get it's confusing. Like, you don't really know what he's thinking. But he does warn him. He's like, look, if you're planning on doing anything, do it quickly. Because Tony's gonna make his move.
Yeah. Might as well.
Yeah. And we do cut to Tony, like, watching this whole conversation unfold in his office. Which means he now knows that Kenta was having that conversation with Jeff, which is not good.
Well, did he hear? Was there audio?
I don't know if he heard it per se, but he saw it, and the guards, before he went in, said that Tony requested Kenta not to go in. And so the fact that he wasn't even in there regardless, Tony knows that Kenta's, like, a little wavering a little bit.
Okay.
So I think we will take a break here, and when we come back, we will have Pete trying to talk with Kenta and try to bring him over to their side, and Tony will completely destroy Kenta emotionally with his words and fist and foot and all sorts of bad things, which broke my heart personally when I was watching. I felt real bad for him. Nothing, really?
Not really me. I don't know why. Maybe it's because, like, I don't feel connected to any of these characters.
Really?
Like, I want to. Trust me, I want to. But every time I turn it on, I'm just like, I don't want to look at your face. Like, I don't feel connected to any of these characters at all.
Honestly, I think that's my favorite part of the show is the fucking characters.
Really?
I love, like, even the characters that, like, I hate, like, I love hating them. Like, Tony, Winner, Dean, like, I hate them, but I love that I hate them. And, like, I love, like, that's my favorite part of the show is the characters.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't see that.
So good.
I just feel like they're all so, I'm trying to find the right word here, and all I'm thinking is boring? Like, I don't know why, but, like, I'm just not, they all feel so, like, there's nothing that deep about them, in my brain at least. Like, whenever I watch, I'm just like, yeah, I expected that from you. Yeah, okay, works for me. Like, yeah, go ahead, cry. Like, I don't even, like I'm not connected to them at all.
Wow. I was so connected to them. Like, that's my favorite part of the show, the characters.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Interesting. Anyway, we'll be right back and probably talk more about that.
Yeah.
During a later scene, yeah. And we are back with our recap of Pip Babe episode 12.
Yeah.
So Pete, Wei, and Babe are at a meeting spot, and Babe's mad at Pete because he's like, I did not agree to bring Kenta in to this plan whatsoever. Because he does not trust him.
Fair.
And Pete says, like, look, Kenta and I have been friends since childhood. Like, I believe deep down he's a good person.
Yeah, but you think he's gonna actually help you? Like, I don't, like, with everything that he's ever done so far, there's, like, no reason to trust him. I really fully believe there's no reason to trust him. Like, I don't know why he would.
Well, again, they have the history. Like, they were brothers one. Like, they have, like, the past. So it's, like, their whole, at least Pete's holding on to that. And even with Jeff, we saw, like, the last time Jeff was here, he let him go.
Yeah, but I don't know. With that, he just keeps flip-flopping so much that I would not trust him.
Well, it doesn't really matter because clearly Kenta did not want to join this team whatsoever. Because he comes in and he's like, look, I know what you're planning on doing, but I am not going to betray Tony.
Exactly.
He's the one who gave me life. He's the one who gave all of you life. Without him, you all would be nowhere. And yeah, so I'm not going to betray him.
All right, I figured.
Yeah. And Wei kind of calls him out. He's like, when are you going to stop acting like a fool and stop being Tony's lapdog?
That's interesting, because I do like the callback later, when he says you're just a dog.
The reference of, yeah.
Yeah. I like that. I like that that happened, and then we were like, ah, you see, hopefully that makes it click, but it still didn't make it click that much.
Well, we don't really see more after that.
No.
So that, there's still, again, there's still one more episode, and that kind of, like, is where Kenta left off, I think.
Yeah.
So, Babe kind of reminds Kenta that, like, he's like, what about all the children that are living there? Like, the children living there are probably living horrible lives. Like, they don't know anything. They're just forced to grow up like that. Like, it could be a life that's better than, like, the ones we had. Like, other than being treated like objects or treated by being expensive or cheap, without Tony there, like, they wouldn't have to deal with that. So, we see that Kenta goes back to Tony and says that, like, he tried to tell them to withdraw. And stop fighting him. And Tony's mad at him.
I see why Tony was like, that's fucking it? You think by being like, well, don't do it, like yeah. It'll do anything?
Well, yeah, I think Kenta's also, he's trying to, like, keep the peace. Like, he doesn't want them to fight, because he's still kind of like, he doesn't want them to get involved, and it seems like Kenta's trying to be the peacekeeper in a very unpeaceful situation.
Yeah, I see that.
Yeah. And Tony's like, oh, well, I thought you might change your mind and join their side. And Ken's like, no, you're the one who raised me. Like, I will never betray you. So Tony slaps him.
He's like, sucks to suck then.
Yeah, he's like, what you should have done was get rid of those people. Like, and kill them.
Alright, like, I don't even...
He says, I've ordered you to take them down so many times, and you haven't been able to do that. And Kenta says, he's like, well, can I get a chance to fix that? And he's like, you've had a chance your whole life, Kenta. And you are disappointed me. And then kind of, like, throws him to the ground, says, you bit the hand that feeds you. And this is where Kenta starts begging. He's like, even if I need to exchange my own life, I will prove to you that I will never betray you. And Tony says, like, your life isn't that valuable. Like, don't overestimate your life.
Yeah. And he's never loved him or anything, because he doesn't love anyone. That's the thing.
No. He loves money and power.
Exactly.
That's it.
Money and power. That's literally it. Like, I don't, like... There's no loyalty there from him on his side.
Yeah. Yeah, so he kind of kicks him again, and kind of, like, clings to his waist, and he's like, please, like, I'm sorry. And he called him father. He stops calling him daddy. He called him father now.
Thank God. Like, please, I don't need him to call him that now.
Yeah, so. And then he says, like, oh, I'm not your father. Like, you are not my child. I never loved you. I saw you as my son. You were like a dog to me. I raised you like a dog.
Exactly. I was like, thank you, finally. Maybe that'll snap him into place.
And he kind of, like, holds his hand out and, like, kind of takes it. And, like, I took this as, like, when you have a dog and you're like, oh, give me your paw. And, like, Kenta, like, pretty much, again, being his dog.
Yeah.
That's how I took it. And, like, he said, like, okay, well, if you're going to be a dog, go be a guard dog and go downstairs with the other guards.
Damn.
Yeah. And as he starts walking away, Winter walks by him, and Tony tells Winter that he's gonna essentially replace Kenta now. He's gonna be the new right-hand man.
Yeah.
Yes.
like, I knew, like, the second he started walking down the hallway with him, I was like, you're gonna regret that so fast, dude. He's such a little bitch.
Like, oh, for sure.
Jesus, he's just like, oh my god, I could hit them, punch them in the face, like, oh my god, shut up.
Winter is like the embodiment, I realize this, he is the embodiment of all bark, no bite.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, he talks a big game, but he can never follow through.
Hell no.
Yeah.
He's too much of a pussy.
No, but that scene was so sad to me with Kenta. Like, I felt so bad for him, because it's like, that's all he's known his whole life. Like, his Tony, and, like, trying to earn his love and affection, and then, like, just to find, like, again, Tony literally says, like, I never raised you as a son, you were never my son, you were just, like, a dog to me. Like, I felt so bad.
Yeah, but I knew that. Like, I, like...
We know that, but then I was like, he's, now Kenta's hearing it. Like, he is hearing those words, and it's like...
I just did not feel like I had built a connection with Kenta at all before this point, which is why this moment didn't really hit me that much. Like, I saw him as, like, the guy who was always doing things for Tony, and, like, one of his kids. Fine. But, like, up until this point, and then this scene happened, and I was like, yep, period. Like, Tony's always been a dick. I see that, absolutely. Oh, and now he's fucking you over. What a shocker. Like, that's all I saw it as. Like, I did not see it as a connection to a character at all, because, like, before that, I only ever saw Kenta as, like, right-hand dude. Like, there was never any emotional bond there. Just, really? Like, a guy. No.
That shocks me. Because I always felt bad for Kenta. Like, even, like, early on, when, like, because Tony had, like, throwing drinks in his face or, like, slapping him. Like, that was, like, early on shit. And, like, I forget what episode it was, maybe episode 4 or 5, where, like, we see, like, kind of, like, crying in the bathroom, like, after, like, he threw a drink on him or something. And we kind of see, remember, like... that. You don't remember that? No.
No. I always, like, whenever... It was even, like, multiple episodes before I realized, oh, this character's gonna be recurring. As in, like, a specific character that you're supposed to follow, kind of thing.
Yeah.
I thought it was just a lackey. Like, for the most part, until you were like, no, his name's Kenta. I was like, oh, he has a name. Okay. Yes. Good to know. But, like, up until here, I was just like, I think the closest I got to being at least even a little invested in his storyline was last episode at the end with Pete. Like, I was like, oh, wait, this could be interesting. But then it was shot down pretty fast. And then I was like, never mind. Like, so, nah, I was never connected with him at all. I did not see this scene as anything emotional in my brain.
So then we have Wei meeting one of Tony's men, and he's going, like, oh yeah, I'm here to pick up the bag. And he's like, doesn't Kenta normally do this? So he places his hand on his shoulder and he says, give me the bag. He gives him the bag and then tells him to sleep, and he falls asleep.
Yep.
Yeah.
Easy.
And then we see another guy come in, but Babe comes in to fight him and knocks him down. And they try to escape, but Winter is there with a gun coming out of the van.
I hate him so much. He's so annoying.
Yeah, no, he sucks. So he's like, okay, drop the weapons, give me the bag. They hand the bag over. But then Babe starts fighting Winter for the gun. Wei tried to rush in to grab the bag, but the guy who fell asleep woke up and tried to get him again. And then Pete pulled up in his car, and they make a run for it to his car and drive off.
Once again, they jump in the car and run away.
Yeah.
But they got the thing.
Yeah, no, they came here for an objective, and they did not, really. No, that.
They keep doing that. They keep jumping in and going, yeah, quick run, like, before they even get what they're supposed to get. Like, guys, just...
Well, I mean, it's more important to save your life than the fucking, like, no...
I mean, like... yeah.
I also like the twist, yeah, like, I feel like normally in shows like these, it's like, oh, yeah, no, of course they're gonna get the thing in the end. Like, it's like, no, they don't. Like, sometimes they don't. Sometimes they
don't. Yeah, that would have been a fun twist if they... I hadn't already done that.
Well, but that was with a different group of people.
Exactly, but see, now it's like, once is like, oh, whoops. Twice is, wow, we suck.
Yeah.
Like, that's all I'm saying.
So then at Alan's house, Alan's kind of mad that Babe didn't fill him in and at all about this whole plan he had with Pete and Wei. And Babe kind of says, like, yeah, well, I didn't know anything about your whole little Jeff phone hunt. So.
Well, the phone hunt, like, wasn't that interesting. Like I feel like going actually to get something of Tony's is a little bit more high profile, I mean, yeah, than searching a phone down.
Yeah. But then Pete and Wei do come in, and Pete reveals that tomorrow night is going to be an auction. It's supposed to be art pieces, but really it's a cover-up for children.
Mm-hmm.
Pete points out that his prize child is someone who can see the future.
Uh-oh. Dun, dun, dun.
And so they kind of know that, oh, that's Jeff.
Dun, dun, dun.
Then we have Tony and Winter. They're walking down the hall. And Winter's like, oh my god, I could have got him too. Like, I was so close. Like, I could have killed them. But, like, you know, if Babe didn't have his senses, like, I would have got him, but he did. And Tony stops him. He's like, wait.
What do you mean senses?
Babe has his senses back. And Winter's like, I mean, it looked like it from the fight. And he's like, oh, interesting. So now Tony knows that Babe has his senses back.
Yeah. So that could be a problem. Also, now he definitely doesn't want Babe dead, because now Babe is valuable again.
Yes. Now they have his senses back. He's worth something.
You see, if Kenta had killed him in the previous episode, you would have been fucked.
So, Wei comes out where Babe's just sitting alone, and he says, like, hey, like, we're getting ready to go out soon, because they're going to make their big move on the auction. And Wei asks, like, hey, do you think we could ever have a chance for things to go back the way they were before? And Wei says, or Babe says, I don't know.
I would say no. Like, too big of a betrayal, bro.
And so Wei sits down next to him and he says, like, I'm sorry for all the past things I did. Okay, whatever. I know you don't really care, but I like the scene.
I don't like Wei. That's the thing.
I know. You're bitter and butthurt that he, you know, betrayed everyone. Blah, blah, blah. Whatever. Okay. But, like,
You're bitter and butthurt about Daniela. Do I?
I am. Off about that? Yes, you did. You fucking, like, yeah, you did. No, like, here's my thing with Wei is that a lot of it, well, like, a lot of, Tony's children and Tony's corruption over everyone, I'm more lenient on, like, with Wei, with Babe, with Charlie, Pete, Kenta, Jeff, even Winter a little bit now. Like, anyone Tony has touched and corrupted, I'm more lenient on, like, the forgiveness aspect of it. Because, like, while Charlie annoyed the shit out of me a lot of the show, I still understood a lot of it. Like, I get it. Like, he was trying to look out for Babe, but he still did a lot of, like, stupid shit. And, like, even Wei and Kenta, like, I feel like Tony is so, like, corrupt and power-hungry that I'm willing to look past and forgive more than had they not been, you know, corrupted and touched by Tony.
You see, I think that's another way that this has very much, like, made me, like, not connect to the characters, or another, like, instance where I don't connect to the characters that much, because I do see that, but because I haven't connected enough with not even just the main characters, but also Tony, like, in the way that he, like, sucks, like, because I feel like I haven't connected with the trauma of all of what happened to them that much, that, like, that's why I see the betrayal as more, like, oomph, because I don't connect with the reasoning behind it as much as you do. So, I guess that's another reason why I just, like, don't like him and don't forgive it, because, like, I don't really... I didn't really see the trauma. I didn't really connect with the trauma there. So I just see the betrayal.
Yeah. And we don't see it. Like, we don't really see it all that much. And we do get, like, flashbacks here and there and, like, stuff like that. But, like, it's also just, like, known. Like, I mean, what, even, like, earlier, what, like, Tony talking with Kenton, like, beating him down, like, all that shit. Like, we know how ruthless he can be. And, like, we know how scary he can be. And we know how powerful he can be. And so, like, especially when you're, like, a young child, like, growing up with that, have, like, a resource and, like, that whole thing. And essentially saying you have one mission to do and you need to do it. And for a way, it was to have a baby with Babe. Like, that was his one mission in life. I know, it sounds weird. But, like, it's true that that's what he was raised to believe. And so to realize that your beliefs were wrong this whole time and that you fucked up because of that and that, like, you hurt the people who actually matter to you, like, it's a lot.
I do, but because, like, we're on episode 12, we're on the penultimate episode, and by this point, if I still have not connected with any of these characters, I feel like I'm never gonna.
I don't know how you were. I don't know, I'll be honest, I think I know what your reason was. I think the whole Omegaverse stuff, like, scared you and gave you a bad taste at the beginning.
I don't think so. I honestly don't think so, because I did like to play off of just, like, Jesus, fuck, why is it here? Like,
that's, again, that's another part I like, is just playing off the, like, oh, well, that makes sense. You know, it's the Omegaverse.
Yeah, I was like, but I do see why you say that, but like, and obviously I was like, oh God, not this. But it was, I'm trying to like find the right words here. It wasn't as bothersome, like, as it could have been.
Mm.
Like, I think the only thing that bothered me about it was the fact that I saw a lot of things, like, being, not obvious, but like, yeah, okay, makes sense this happens, or like, yeah, okay, this isn't surprising, because there was the basis there that it was Omegaverse. So, like, when something shocking happened, I've mentioned this before, it wasn't that shocking, because there was already, like, a shocking basis, I guess. I don't know. It just didn't hit as hard as it could have done.
Mm.
Although, a scene later, I was quite excited about, like, oh, this actually was an interesting shocker. Yay.
Oh, it is so, the next scene with Charlie?
Yes!
Oh, good. Well, okay. Well, great segue. We have Charlie looking around Reval's house and seeing a lot of Babe stuff around.
I was like, oh yeah, there's a picture of Babe. And then he said, and then he just kept looking around. I was like, yeah, okay, there's just this long scene. He's just looking around. But then, like, he was looking through a book and there were, like, babies. Like, it was baby pictures of him and shit. And I was like, it's his dad! It's his dad! It's his dad! Like, it came to me. So, like, yeah. That was interesting. I was shocked by that. I was like, actually, you threw me for a loop there. Well done.
Yes. We, I will say we learn more about that next week as well.
I'm sure.
So.
I'm sure it's not just going to drop off.
Yeah, no, we get a whole flashback and everything to his backstory of him and Babe.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's revealed that Ravel is Babe's father. Because at first Charlie was like, wait, are you just like Tony? Are you trying to like take him for his powers too? And he's like, no. I'm his father. Like, I'm his biological father.
Yeah.
And so Charlie's kind of like, oh, shit. So the auction begins. And we have item number one, which is a art piece, and a child is standing next to it.
Yeah, the way they bring in a different child each time to be like, oh, they're just showing the art piece. No,
yeah. And he says its starting price is 1 million baht.
Fucking damn, man.
Yeah, ends up being sold for 7 million.
Jesus.
So, that child was quite expensive. And then we have Babe, Wei, Pete, and Alan entering the building. They kind of split up. Pete and Wei are going to go to the auction. Alan's looking for Jeff, and Babe's trying to find winner or the evidence or whatever. We have Alan finding where Jeff and the other children are being held and beats up the guard before running out with Jeff.
Run. But they leave the kids there, which is kind of sad.
Well, there hasn't he on Jeff? He doesn't want to leave the kids, but, like, also, this is, like, their end game to, like, foil Tony's plan, so, like, if they can, odds are that kid will be safe regardless in the end, but...
Yeah. It's like, don't worry, we'll come back because we'll, you know, take Tony out.
Yeah. So, yeah, they'll be back for them.
Momentarily leaving.
Yes. And then as the second child is being bid, we have Pete and Wei entering the auction. And Tony's like, oh, let them in, it's fine, let them in. And they enter, and Pete does reveal that he's like, oh, like, Tony's his daddy or whatever, father, like, to the audience, which is kind of just like, you know, a little like,
yeah,
info.
Exciting news.
But, yeah. Then we have gunman being the shit out of Babe, because it seems his senses have gone again. Mm. And Charlie comes in with Babe's senses.
And I was like, when the fuck did you get here?
Yes, he defeats all the guys. I'm assuming Charlie showed up after he realized that he wasn't hearing from Jeff anymore. Yeah. Like, I don't know how long Jeff was gone for, but, like, he kind of, like...
That's true. It's like, where the fuck has he been? It's probably very much like, hey, where the fuck is he been? I thought he's supposed to come, like, every other day or something shit like that. Like, where is he now?
Yeah. So, and then when he didn't show up, they were kind of like, oh, okay, well, I think something happened and he's just going in and...
Yeah.
I think that's why you're there. And that's where the episode ends. We have Babe seeing Charlie alive with his senses. So, MVP for the episode?
Can I just say no, I don't have
one? Really?
Yeah. It was like, this episode, I just kept like, I had to really force myself to pay attention. Like, I was drifting, man. I, like, some of it I didn't remember because I was just like, it was a lot to get through this episode, and I feel like no one really was a standout. The only, part of me wants to say Charlie just because he was included in the shocker that, like, that guy was his, that Babe's dad. But, like, that was not of him being a, you know, awesome character or anything like that. It was just because he was there.
It was just like a shocking reveal.
It was just a fun, shocking reveal. So, like, nah.
Okay.
I know. I have to say, I wanted to like this. I really did going into this show, but this is probably, like, my least favorite show you've shown me.
I don't know why. Like, I'll be honest, everyone fucking loved this show. This was, like, such a popular show. Like, I am so thrown off as, like, that you don't like it this much. I'm so shocked
by
that.
I don't know why so many people like it. Like, I don't get it. I really don't. Like, no offense to all y'all. You love what you want to love. But, like, I don't see it. Okay. I really don't see it.
Okay, well, my MVP was Pete. I mainly just like the fact that he was, again, like I said, like, I felt like he was trying to, you know, he was trying to help Wei. He's trying to help Kenta. Like, he's not giving up on anyone. Like, he's not giving up on any of the people who are raised by Tony. Like, he's the only person who I think really understands, like, how awful Tony was and how cruel he can be, and is not willing to give up on people who were also raised that way as well.
Yeah.
And we see that a lot this episode, and so I thought he was good. So you're great for last week.
Yay. Tell me.
You got 50%, so that's not awful.
It's barely passing.
I mean, yeah, it's not even passing, really.
It's not even passing. It's not even passing.
So the first one was kidnapped. You said Kenta. It was a Jeff.
Fuck. Well, he kidnapped
him. I mean, he did, but he wasn't kidnapped. I'm sorry with the quote. You said Charlie. It was Wei when he was apologizing to Babe. Oh. Another quote, don't overestimate your life. That was Tony. You got that correct.
I felt like that would be Tony.
And auction, that was Tony, I guess, and you also got it correct as well.
Yeah. Well, I got the Tonys.
Yeah. You got Tony right. That's good.
Sweet.
So now there are four vibes for the finale.
Snazzy.
The first one is hot damn times two.
Aw.
Yeah.
I'm gonna guess Charlie and Babe, because they're like, yeah, you're alive. Let's fuck. if it's people we've already seen a hot damn for, then I would say Jeff and Alan. But if it's not people we've seen a hot damn for, I would say Wei and Pete. But, like, I feel like we haven't seen enough of them for them to actually be like, ooh, guys, they're gonna have a hot damn. Ooh. So, like, I would say Alan and Jeff.
Next is backstory.
The dad and everything? Babe and the dad?
Next is a quote.
Ooh.
Please stop, don't hurt anyone else.
Does Kenta say that to Tony? That's a guess. I'd say that's Kenta to Tony.
Kenta. And then the last vibe is death times two.
People die! Okay. Part of me doesn't want to say Tony because I want him to, like, you know, go to prison and shit, but I'm gonna say Tony. And I really hope that death number two maybe sticks with Charlie. Maybe this time he'll actually die.
So you want
but
to say Charlie?
Not. Maybe not, though. Because he already, like, died in quotes once, I guess. But he didn't. It'd be really interesting if it was Babe. But I also feel like I could see that coming. But I'll say Babe anyway.
Okay.
Babe. Or Wei. But I'll say Babe. No, I'm not. I'm going to say Wei. Scratch that.
Well, okay, hang on. What?
Wei.
Okay, so Tony and Wei, you think are they going to die?
Yes.
Okay. So those were your vibes for the finale.
Great.
Join us next week where we'll be recapping Pip Babe episode 13, the finale.
Snazzy.
Of season one, because apparently there's season two coming up soon.
So. Please don't make me watch it. I don't know why.
It's not even out yet. I'm still so shocked. I don't know. Anyone listening, why didn't Emma like this?
I swear I want to. Like, everyone else seems to like it. So I'm like, great. And so I went in and I'm like, I'm going to like it. And then I didn't like it. I'm like, I want to because everyone else seems to like it. So I don't get why I don't like it.
I don't either. Like everything you don't like, you said, like, oh, I don't feel a connection with the character. I'm like, that's, like, one of my biggest reasons. And, like, the Omegaverse stuff, it's like, oh, who cares? Like, it's the Omegaverse. Like, that's, like, again, a fun thing. It's like, yeah, who cares? It's just crazy. Like, anything can happen. It's the Omegaverse.
I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is, man. It's just not connecting with me at all.
I don't know.
I've tried to be like, ooh, I want to be, maybe you'll be my favorite character. And then it's just, like, nothing happens with them in my brain. And I'm just like... Okay. Like, I thought it would be Charlie for a while, but, like, I was finding nothing to hold on to. So, I don't know.
I don't know. Okay, well, we will see you all next week for Pip Babe episode 13.
See you then.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.